Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm going to be talking about the power of slowing down. And I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it particularly in the sense of being more creative, how to be more creative by doing less. And so certainly this has been on my mind because I'm doing a bunch of things, and I'm sure that you are as well. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a creative person in some type, you're probably doing a lot of things. And right now, as I record this, we're right about that holiday season where things are a little crazy. And oftentimes, you know, especially at this time of the year, we think about all the things that we wanted to do from the beginning of the year, all of those, those we'll probably make them again at the beginning of the year. And I'll do an episode about why I don't particularly like the New Year's resolutions. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, but, you know, people always say, oh, there's, you know, so much time left in the year. There's only this much time left in the year. There's only that much time left in the year. What are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? And so as we get to the end of the year, I think a lot of times we feel like we have to cram in all the things that we didn't get done that we wanted to do at the beginning of the year. So what I want to share with you are some thoughts about how, again, that actually we can be more creative by doing less. And, you know, one of the things, if you think about it, I think about this, for example, like the difference between a restaurant, you know, who, for example, if I said to you, you know, who sells the most burgers in the world, right? If we were to think about who actually creates the most hamburgers in the world, I don't actually know the answer to that, but I'm willing to bet that the answer involves some golden arches. And you probably know who I'm talking about, right? McDonald's. And that is McDonald's, I would think, you know, with their billions and billions served, probably serves more hamburgers than anybody in the world. But here's the question. Does McDonald's, right, is McDonald's the most, would you then say that they are the most creative chefs or the most creative hamburger cooks in the world? And I would venture to say that that's not the case, right? That what they are is they are the most efficient, probably, and they sell the most hamburgers, but they're not necessarily, they're not the most creative, right? So when we think about doing a lot of things, I think about mass production. And, you know, Henry Ford, right, one of the people who started the whole idea of mass production, said you can have any, you know, any color Ford you want as long as it's black. And if you think about that, you know, that's that basically what he was saying is, right, it's like you get what you get and here you go. Now, when we think about our lives, right, and we think about creativity and projects that we might be working on or things that we want to do, the problem is that, I mean, it's great to be efficient and we should be efficient, and that's something that we should always aim for. I mean, it's not the case that we should, you know, we don't have a ton of time and we shouldn't waste the time that we have on this planet to do the things that we want to do. But at the same time, there's a certain amount in which creativity involves slowing down and stopping and nurturing ourselves. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's definitely a challenge because I love creating things. I mean, just this week alone, I put out a new book. I have produced at least 10 podcasts. You know, always doing lots of things. And so I love doing stuff. I love creating. I love producing things. But at the same time, we have to realize that there is a point of diminishing returns. And there's a point at which we need to be able to take the time to slow down and renew ourselves so that we can truly be more creative. And when I say creative, what I mean is, I mean, not that cookie cutter thing, right? Not just I remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but I'm old enough to remember the Dunkin' Donuts. They had the old thing. It was time to make the donuts. You know, it was the guy who, you know, make the Dunkin' Donuts. Well, we're not, you know, for most of us, we're not making donuts, right? We're trying to create unique works. We're putting out books. We're writing plays. That's the other thing I was doing this week is working on developing 6 plays for production for February. So So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot just in the course of my week. Boy, you know, it's great to be doing all of these things, but there has to be a balance between doing things and then also allowing ourselves to be. And if you've ever heard of Eric Fromm, the psychologist Eric Fromm, he talks about the difference between being a human doing versus being, actually, is what he talks about. So there, you know, the difference between the doing or having, right, and just in this mode of I do versus being. And in our society, we don't really value, we don't value that much the idea of being a human being versus a human doing. And I will bet you that in my own practice, in my therapy practice over the years, I will bet you that you have, I know this from clients that I've worked with, I will bet you that you've had situations where you have felt like a human doing, you know, that you've been going and going and going, and you don't feel like a human being, you feel like a human doing. You're just, you've got a checklist of things to do, and you're just checking off the next thing and checking off the next thing and checking off the next thing. And the problem with that is that at some point, right, again, it's diminishing returns, because in order to do our best creative work, we really need to be present, and we need to be able to, we need to be able to be present. You know, I think of it even with a therapy practice and doing therapy. And, you know, there were times in my life where I've worked with people and, you know, you have 7-8 people scheduled in a day to see for therapy. And the problem is that it's just too much, you know, that it's too many people, and you end up getting overwhelmed, or you just end up getting, you're just not able to be as present as you would be if you saw 4 or 5 people. And of course, you know, yes, we're more productive if we see more people, but at the same time, are we truly productive, right? Are we truly productive? Because like I said, you know, to go back, I'm not trying to pick on McDonald's in this episode, but the idea that, you know, we don't want to emulate necessarily, we're not trying to emulate billions and billions served. We want to serve people. We want to serve the people that most need our help. We want to really be there and be present for the people that really, you know, that really need us, and to be able to really be creative, to really create something new and to do something that raises the bar. You've got to take a step back. You've got to stop and take the time to look at, you know, to reflect, to see what's going on. A nice way to do this. So, you know, one of the questions that people ask me is, well, that's great, but what do I do? Just sit there and be, Doug? I'm just going to sit in my room and practice being, you know, I'm going to go out of my mind. Well, one thing is, I mean, you could meditate, right? And I will tell you right now that I'm the worst meditator in the world. I never tell anyone to meditate because I would feel like a hypocrite, because I have a hard time meditating myself. It's just not formally meditating is, you know, I know the more you practice it, the better you get at it, but it's just not something that for me, I don't find it something that comes naturally. But the, you know, other ways, there's other things that you can do that, you know, anything that's repetitive, for example, if you like to exercise, you could go for a run. You know, and just the repetitive rhythm of a run and just being in a run and just slowing down and doing that. You could read a good book and get yourself lost in a good book. You could go ahead and journal. You know, journaling is a great way to just be and to reflect and to take some time for yourself. So, you know, you have to find, you know, what are the things for you that help you reconnect with your own humanity and help you reconnect with who you are and what you're doing and what you're about, right? And that when you come out the other side, you have this other thing. And it's interesting because, you know, as we come up on the holidays, and I'm not going to get into, I'm not an expert on comparative religions by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know quite a bit about story and the structure of story. And, you know, many of the stories of the founding of religions has to do with a leaving of the world in some way, and then leaving and then having some realization and returning. And whether it's Jesus or whether it's Moses or whether it's Muhammad, you know, there are all these stories have some component of the idea of people taking a quest or, you know, leaving and stepping out of the world and then coming back with something, you know, with profound insights. And I don't think that we can come back with those insights unless we take the time to leave. And the leaving, like I said, I mean, the leaving is not, you know, it's not dropping out of your life, you know, and telling your spouse and your kids that, you know, you'll be back in a month because you're going on a spiritual quest. But can you take 30 minutes for yourself? Can you take some time? Can you go for a walk? Can you lose yourself in really doing nothing productive? And that is a very different way of looking at things. You know, Stephen Covey in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about one of the habits as being sharpening the saw, you know, sharpen the saw. And he talks about sharpen the saw as you've got to take care of yourself, and you have to make sure that you're taking that time to renew yourself. And I really think, you know, I really do believe that in order to do something that's really creative, in order to move to that next level, and if you're thinking about your business or you're thinking about, or even your family or your relationships, that we've got to take that time to stop and renew and recreate ourselves. And every time that I have done that, you know, every time that I've stopped to do that, I've never regret taking the time to do it. But there's also that little voice, and I don't know if you experience this, but there's that little voice that says, you know, you can't take time to stop. You don't have enough time. You've got to finish this. You got to finish that. And there's a book by, what's his name? Not Carson Palmer. It'll come to me. Anyway, it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And he had a bunch of books about don't sweat the small stuff. And one of the things the author says is that when you die, your inbox will still be full. And it's very true. You know, when we die, our inbox will definitely still be full. There'll still be things to do. There'll still be stuff that you'll need to take care of that you never took care of. And guess what? Someone else will have to take care of it. And that's just the way it is. So then the important thing becomes, it's not just, you know, ticking off all the things that we had to do in our lives, but it's really more about, did we make an impact? You know, and I don't see how we can make a real impact in the world without giving our own unique creative contributions. And, you know, same thing with if you're into music, you know, sometimes artists will take a hiatus and they will take time, you know, between albums. And, you know, people are frustrated and they say, come on, put out another album. And then you have people who are just putting out album after album after album. And they're just like machines, you know, they're just cranking out stuff like robots. And, you know, the problem with that is that again, that most likely if you're cranking out that much content and you're cranking it out like that, the reality is at some point you're probably going to get stagnant. You need to be able to take a step back and again, take that time for being. So that's a challenge that I have for you, is to think about, you know, especially in the holidays. I mean, in one way, the holidays are a time when we might actually have a little bit more time, right? We might have some time off from work, but at the same time, unfortunately, that time from work is often offset by all the running around that you have to do for the holidays. So how do you take time in the middle of your busy schedule to really honor and say, what is it that, you know, I intend to slow down because I intend to be more creative in my work? And that's the other piece. It's not just about time, but it's also about this sense of intention, you know, setting an intention of, you know, where in your life would you like to have more impact? You know, I'm thinking about this now with my own work and about podcasting and the work that I do, and thinking about, you know, how can I be more transformational? What can I add? And it's not about doing more podcasts. That would be being more productive, right? I could do more podcasts, but it's also about, you know, that's one route to go. But the other route is, what can I do differently? How can I add value? What can I do that would be a contribution or greater contribution or be a creative leap. And in order to do that, we need to take a little bit of time to do that. I often think this is one of the reasons why repressive governments really keep people very, very busy. You know, if you think about, for example, any kind of repressive regime since the middle, you know, beginning of time, they will work people really hard. They will ban any type of creative activity because the most dangerous thing for an oppressive government is for people who are able to take time to step back in their lives, reflect on their lives, think about what they want, because guess what? Most likely what they're not going to want is to live in a repressive government. And so that's one of the things I think that a government, you know, repressive regimes tend to fear most is people who have the time and ability to step back and reflect on their lives. Plus, they'll be smart enough to maybe create or think about creating something new and create new ideas. And, you know, you can kill people, but you can't kill ideas. So it's very bad for regimes, for repressive regimes. Well, the reason I share that is because, you know, we end up becoming our own repressive regime, right? We end up becoming for ourselves. We end up running our lives in such a way that we're our own taskmasters, and we are, you know, these really awful taskmasters to ourselves. I remember seeing this cartoon, and it was a bunch of people in a boat, you know, one of those rowboats, and there was a bunch of like slaves in a rowboat. And the one guy goes, "Good news, we brought in a motivational speaker." And it was a guy with a whip. It was this giant guy with a whip. And so, you know, that's the kind of motivational speaking that we don't want. My friend, but I haven't spoke to him in a while. It's been a while since I interviewed him. But Thomas More, who I've interviewed many times over the years, who wrote Care of the Soul, he talked about this idea that what we need in our lives is, you know, to create alchemy. You know, we want to create the creative process is a process of alchemy. You know, it's a process of magic. It's a process of mixing in things from different places that we take it in and creating something new from taking in our experiences deeply. But one of the things that he talks about also is that in order to really have that experience of alchemy, we need to take the time to truly sort out our experiences. We need to take the time to take in our experiences and take them in a deep way. And so, you know, it's not enough to have experiences. It's not enough to do creative things. And what's interesting is, you know, there are certainly people who don't, you know, they're procrastinators, and I've done episodes on procrastination, and I'm sure I'll continue to do episodes on procrastination. I'll do other ones in the future. But, you know, it's an interesting thing because to think about the idea that sometimes what looks like procrastination may actually be fertilization. It's something coming to fruition. You know, it's the creative process coming to fruition. And I think I said this on a previous episode, but there's a Native American saying that I love, which says, "One cannot push the river nor pull the sprout." You know, you have to allow the creative process to unfold in its own time. There are things we can do to perhaps speed things up, but at the same time, if we push too hard, if we push the river, or, you know, what happens if you pull the sprout too hard? Well, if you pull on a sprout too hard, it will just break, right? It'll just rip out of the ground, and then you won't have a sprout anymore. And so in the remaining time that we have, I want to shift gears and share this with you in terms of some of the things I'm thinking about in terms of the direction of the show and in terms of the direction of the show and also just the direction of my work, and get you to think about the connection between the personal transformation and social transformation. So we just had an election, and, you know, some people are happy about the outcome, some people are not. I definitely do not get into politics on this show. That's not my interest. But one of the things that I think there is a big interest in is social impact, and the idea that for whatever you believe, whatever cause you believe in, that if you want to have a greater social impact, how do you do that? And for some people, that takes the form of, you know, we're seeing people demonstrating, you know, outside different places, government organizations, or, you know, people that are outside Trump Tower that are, you know, that are protesting. And that certainly is a valid and important form of social expression. At the same time, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, though, was the idea of taking a step back, you know, that we get very, when it comes to, for example, social impact, we think of pushing, we have to fight, we have to push, we have to fight. And yes, to a certain degree, I'm sure that, you know, we do have to push and fight to have a social impact. But what if there's also another way to look at this that maybe has a little bit more ease to it? And this idea that we could take a step back. And I wonder if some of the people who are, and again, I'm not knocking anyone for protesting or carrying signs. You know, those are all very valid forms of social protest. But one of the things I wonder is, you know, when you go right from whatever raw feelings you're having about a topic to running out and doing that, are you perhaps missing something? Are you fully allowing the experience of what's happened to you, your feelings, what you want? Are you really allowing that to digest? Are you really taking the time to step back and say, how can we do something transformational? You know, here's what the first thought is, right? My first thought is to run out and grab a picket sign and go out and do that. And again, maybe that is the right thing to do, but maybe there's something else. You know, maybe there's a more creative, more transformational way to go about social change and to go about changing the world. And, you know, and if we don't take the time to really explore that, that maybe we're missing something. And so I've really been thinking about this lately. You know, the same thing with social media, the idea that the level of communication that we're having on social media, because we're not stopping, we're not slowing down, we're not really allowing ourselves to take that time, that alchemical, I can't say the word, but that process of alchemy. You know, if you think about, for example, you know, think about people on Facebook during the elections, and you know, people would just get angry with each other and, you know, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong. You know, what if we took a moment to slow down and say, what is it that we really want to communicate on social media? What do I even, why am I even on social media? What am I doing? Is there a reason that I'm doing this? Am I, you know, I'm just, am I doing it because I just want to say something and I want to feel good about putting it out there that I've said my piece? Am I just angry and I want to respond to something that someone else said? Those, you know, might be all valid reasons, but if we really stopped, took a step back, and maybe even had some conversations with like-minded people and said, what are we feeling? You know, is it most effective? What do we want to accomplish? Let's say that what you want to accomplish is you want more funding for arts organizations, right? And you take a step back and you talk to other people and you say, okay, here's what I've been doing on Facebook or social media. You know, I've been blasting people about, you know, I've been blasting people for their beliefs, or, you know, I've been saying what I don't like about the upcoming administration. And we take a step back and say, well, is that really going to get me to where I need to go? Is that going to give me the social impact that I need to have? And again, maybe the answer is yes. But if we're not taking the time to really step back and think about that, then maybe we're really missing something. So I'm really interested in this idea, and I'd love to, you know, I'd love to hear your feedback about this. But the idea that the personal transformation, right, personal transformation, slowing down and thinking about how can we do things differently, because the world is fundamentally changing, how can we do things differently? How can we have a greater social impact? But that social impact starts with doing nothing. And, you know, remember Seinfeld? There's a show about nothing, right? So the idea that, you know, by doing nothing, and when I mean nothing, what I really mean is stopping, right? Stopping, slowing down, coming back to what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then really holding a space for a more powerful, creative solution to occur. And I really believe that, you know, when we think about, like I said, when I say social impact, I mean making a change in the world in some way, whether that is, you know, for some of the people I've interviewed recently, maybe that's passing a piece of legislation like the Americans with Disabilities Act that changed the world for millions, or changed the U.S. for the lives of millions of people, or whether it's, you know, opening a bakery that creates really great, you know, cakes for people and makes people happy, whatever that transformation is that you're trying to achieve, you know, I would suggest to you that, you know, to think about, what mode am I in right now? Sometimes you just have to make the donuts. I mean, there is a time, for making the donuts, and you got to just execute and you got to do whatever it is you have to do. But if we're finding ourselves in a place where we keep going and we keep going and we're doing the same thing and we're doing the same thing, and we feel like we're, you know, you feel like I said, you're just at the end of the day, you're just checking off boxes, then maybe the answer is to slow down, to take time. And like I said, I think it would be wonderful if we could create spaces where people could be creative and be allowed to have this space to be before we had to jump right into that doing mode. Because being, in my experience, is where that transformational piece happens. It's where it's where you get those creative answers. So I want to encourage you. That's, again, my challenge for you. Slow down, take time, get off the wheel, especially at the holiday, get off the cycle of shopping and running around. Take some time for yourself and take some time to really create. And I commit to doing the same for myself. Thank you so much, everyone, for this has been another episode of Creating Change. We'll be back next week. As always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta.